Hey guys, thank you so much for tuning into the podcast. If you are new, thank you so much for tuning in. And if you're with me for a while, thank you so much for coming back. So I'm excited to have some girl talk here today with one of my favorites. I'm excited to have celebrity love coach and host of Reality of Love show, Nicole Moore. Thank you for being here.
Thank you for having me. I'm excited.
So for anyone listening, just so you guys know, Nicole and I connected before we did the show and we got to know each other a little bit. So with that being said, Nicole, I'm going to dive into something you told me, if I may.
Okay, cool.
So you mentioned to me that you knew where your soulmate was. Mm-hmm. So that's what helped you make decisions or certain, you know, relocating in your life. Maybe there's someone listening and they're going through so much relationship trouble. Can you talk about maybe the knowing that you had?
Story, I'm from New York City, born and raised, and that's where I was living. After I had a really bad relationship with an emotionally abusive narcissist, and I was living actually at the home that I grew up in because my mom still had the apartment, even though she wasn't living there. So it was very much like I was every day during that time, just so you know, I was healing, getting on the phone, coaching clients. I'd be like, cry, time for a client on the phone. That was my life. So I say this because I was like spending a lot of time at that time, like I have to heal from this relationship. I can't let it mess me up. And so I was kind of like meditating every day. I was journaling every day. Like my life was about healing at that time. That's why I think I got that insight, because I wasn't like, oh, I'm so busy. I'm so like, you know, I wasn't distracted. I was very focused on like, I got to heal from this and I have my clients, and that's what I did. So because I was meditating so much, I think I was just connected to like this inner knowing, you know, like I could hear that voice, what it sounds like. It also told me I was going to have a kid when I was 32. Like I was meditating and I randomly heard, you're going to have a baby when you're 32. So get prepared. And at that time, I think I was like 30 and a half. And I'm like, what the hell are you talking about? But there's something in me that was like, okay, maybe that's true. So I was healing. I'm in New York City and I keep talking about how I want to find love, and I'm helping like all these other people find love and get married. And I just kept having this feeling about California. I'd never, you know, like I'd never been, it's not that I'd never been, I had been there to visit, but there was this feeling in me, California. I have no driver's license. I still don't.
So I know.
The feeling's California. The mind is saying, what are you talking about? How can I move to California without a driver's license? And then I was having dinner with my friends and they were like, Nicole, you're so fierce. You go after everything. You keep talking about this. Why aren't you doing it? And I was like, they're freaking right. Like, why am I talking about this? Why am I like, guys, I have a feeling and not doing it? So like, I just want to preface that to say, I kind of had an inner knowing, but it took a little bit for me to actually want to follow it, right? It took me, my friends reflecting back to me, like, if you say you really want love and you say love is there, what are you doing? So I booked my ticket that night because I was like, they're right. And I think sometimes you can have an inner knowing, but then you need something on the outside to just reflect it back to you where you're like, shit, I gotta do this, you know? So I went and I booked my ticket and I think I met my husband like a few months later. And, you know, the weird thing is that my son was, they were brushing teeth in the morning, like just last week. And my husband said something to him about how he used to live in San Diego. And he was like, oh, is that before Nicole found you? And the way he said it, I was like, what? It was like almost like my son knew that I was supposed to have found, but he didn't know about that, you know? So
wow.
I had an inner feeling. It took me a while to trust it. How did I know though? People always ask, how did you know? Okay. So this is the difference. It wasn't like logically, I think there's better men in California than New York. So logically, that's why it makes sense. It wasn't like everybody in New York sucks and I have to escape. It wasn't like I'm trying to intellectually figure out how to do this. It was very much the gut feeling that wouldn't let go. So I wasn't trying to like calculate anything or have a strategy. That's how you know it's a real, true, like intuitive gut feeling. It's not related to a strategy, and it's not related to like, New York sucks. I mean, people find love in New York all the time, but also it can be difficult, right? Like, wasn't New York sucks. Let me try and go here to find better. I didn't know about California guys. Actually, what I manifested was a California guy who feels like a New Yorker, because that's what I want. I didn't want to lose a New Yorker, right? You know, so it was pure intuition, pure gut feeling, no logic, not trying to calculate anything, just going off the feeling. That's how you know.
I love that. And we will dive into all that. We're going to unpack more. But you said something important. You were healing from a narcissistic relationship. Now we hear this. Yeah, we hear this all the time. But from, you know, being a relationship coach and expert and doing everything you do, what are some of the top signs that someone's actually a narcissist? Because I feel like sometimes, yes, there are narcissists, but other times people throw that word around not to do the self-reflecting and just want to blame someone. So I do see it both ways. So what's the definition of a narcissist?
Okay. So yeah, it's because everybody says narcissist these days. So truly, truly, truly self-interested, using you just for their purposes. The narcissist always has a perfect image of some perfect person that they have in their mind that you should measure up to. And they will try and fit you into that. And the second they feel like you don't fit or there's someone else better, they will discard you like very quickly. They don't take personal responsibility ever. They make you always feel like you're wrong, and you'll know if you're with a narcissist, like your self-esteem literally gets destroyed, crushed to the point where you feel so weakened and you feel like you need them. So example is my ex cheated on me a bunch of times and said it was my fault, but there was this one, he cheated on me with his ex-wife that was one of the women. And I saw his ex-wife because he had kids. So I would be with the kids. I'm like watching the kids and there's like a handoff, right? And I asked him like, and his ex-wife had a boyfriend. And I'm like, why were you doing that? Like you guys both had partners, like and he said, the reason I was sleeping with my ex-wife is because I want to control like what's going on with my children. And she has a boyfriend. And I said, don't you feel bad about that though? Don't you feel bad about the boyfriend? And he was like, no. And that's when I knew. I was like, there's no ability to even like take account of actions or feel bad for hurting other people. A narcissist is never going to be like, I'm so sorry. I see that hurt your feelings. They're going to be like, no, like either you shouldn't feel bad about it or this is the means to the end. And that was the moment where it really, I was like, I'm actually dealing with somebody who truly doesn't understand like a moral compass at all, you know? So
moral compass. Yeah. So, you did a lot of meditation to get over it, because let's say someone might be in a narcissistic relationship right now or getting out of it. What are those first few steps to healing, to truly, truly heal? Because it sounds like you, of course, you healed, you manifested, you listened to your intuition, but you did it through meditation and all that. So what are some steps someone listening right now should start taking right now to really do real, real healing work?
Okay. Step one is you have to forgive yourself. Like the thing is that everyone who's with a narcissist and then tries to leave is going to feel like the biggest idiot on the planet, because you're just going to be like, well, why did I do it? Why did I put up with this? And trust me, like I literally was helping people get married and I was in this relationship. So I literally was like, hello, Nicole, don't you know better? But what I had to realize, and this is where forgiveness came, was why did I attract that person? It was all my childhood patterns, right? It was all the places where I felt not lovable, where, I mean, there was so much about my ex that was a wound from how I grew up and my parents, you know? So like, I really had to realize, like, I'm a smart person. The smart person in me didn't choose that guy, though. It was the wounds within me that chose that person. I had to really like forgive myself. And I had people even at that time being like, how can you coach other people, like haters? And I just had to be like, you know what? How I heal this is going to be the true testament to like whether or not I should be doing this work. Right. So step one is you really have to like forgive yourself. Step two is you really have to get that that relationship that you just went through is like, it's like an anomaly. It's like if you get hit by lightning, like it's not going to happen again unless you are sitting there freaked out saying, oh my God, I'm so scared of attracting a narcissist now. I'm like, what if I attract a narcissist? Like people get so freaked out because it's such a crazy making experience and they think it's going to happen again. And I always say, see it like getting struck by lightning, even though I know there's cases where people have gotten struck twice. It's very rare to get struck twice. So when I was healing, I literally had to sit there and every day I would tell myself like, Nicole, you're not going to close your heart because of this. You're not going to get afraid because of this. You're not going to think that every other guy is going to be a narcissist or a liar because of this. Because the one benefit I had was since I was already coaching people, I saw people who had been through 20, 30, 40, 50 years of bad relationships. And I was like, I can't be that. You know what I mean? So I have to stop this now. So don't think that you went through this and so everyone else is going to be that way and close yourself off, because that's a way to either be shut down or attract someone who's like that. You have to know you went through this only because this was, it's almost like it's a super chance to see all your patterns and heal in one shot. Yeah. Like for some reason you wanted the big shot. So you got the big shot. So you have to just look at it as the biggest healing opportunity on the planet. And narcissists typically choose very powerful people who haven't realized their power yet. They choose a specific kind of person over and over and over again. So if they chose you, you're very powerful. You're very emotionally in tune. You're very advanced usually, but you don't know it fully about yourself yet. And that's where they were able to get in. And so you got to know your power. And then so once I did that, I was just like, I had to release the painful emotions. I walked around New York City with literally, it felt like my heart was burning for like 1 to 2 months. And I was like, whatever feelings are here, I'm just going to not run from them. I'm going to feel it. And I remember walking around, going to my juice shop, going to the coffee store, going to Subway. And I had so much like painful emotions inside of me because that relationship triggered my childhood wounds. And I just had to let them out. And I also had to like let other people see that I was going through that, which I didn't do before, you know, like I just kind of had to let it out. But I knew if I let it out, I won't attract it again. So that's why I was like, let me let it out. And then after all that, I would play the song Higher Love, the fast version, not the slow version. There's like a up-tempo Higher Love version. I would play it every day. And after I did my healing, I wrapped it up with, I would play the song every day and I would envision the relationship I was going to be in. And I would just kind of attune myself to that, like over and over and over again, you know? But if I hadn't done that, I probably either would have stayed single or just attracted a lesser version of that, like a less bad version, but still pretty crappy. You know what I mean? And we didn't want that.
There's so much there. The healing, as we know, it's ongoing and sometimes it's very painful. And I do want to say to anyone listening, it's super important to acknowledge, not run from those feelings. Would you recommend that as you're acknowledging and healing, not to be going on dates, to really self-reflect? Because I feel like we're in a time where people are trying to maybe get over an ex or a narcissist or whatever relationship just came out of, and they're going on dates and maybe they're not self-reflecting as much. So maybe they're not healing by constantly being busy with other people. Would you say to really heal, you need to step away from the dating scene?
Sometimes, you know, and the thing is that the narcissist will probably find someone real quick. So you're going to have to just accept that as well.
Oh, yeah.
Don't let that push you into finding somebody. So I always say, like, listen, if you're going to take a break from dating and you're going to use it to like go within and work on yourself, that's amazing, right? You will shave years off your whole process if you actually just go within. What I see a lot of people do, though, is they take a break from dating and they don't really heal. They're just like, I'm kind of still wounded. I'm kind of still afraid. I'm talking to everybody about how much love sucks and how much dating sucks. So they just kind of stay in this like holding pattern where the pain's still there. They're afraid. And then they go and try and date and it's not what they want. And then they stop and they start. So like, that's what we don't want to do. Taking time off to heal is absolutely amazing. Now, I think that whatever patterns you have inside of you, you're going to meet that in partners. So like whatever you believe you can have easily. Let's say some people believe like I could date millionaires. Some people believe I could always have a handsome guy. Some people believe I could always have somebody that treats me well. They don't have an issue with that. Like, it's just like, check, given. You're going to get that. You're also going to get your unhealed wounds, right? So like whatever you think is easy, you're going to get that. You don't have to worry about that, right? Whatever your unhealed stuff is, you're going to meet that in the people that you date, right? So dating, sometimes if you're not this kind of self-aware person, it can reveal that stuff to you, you know, but the bottom line is you still have to go and figure it out. So if you're dating to distract, you can't. Like, you can only do it for a little bit of time, but then it's going to come out anyway. Like, it's all going to come out anyway, right? It's all going to come out. So you might as well just face it. Do I think you can heal at the same time that you're dating? Absolutely. But you have to watch yourself and be like, don't go into fantasy land. Notice what's coming up. Like, notice, use this. I always recommend, I have a whole thing called Dating for Growth that I teach my clients. And I'm like, every date is either showing you more of what you want, more of what you don't want, more of what you need to heal. Sometimes they're showing you that you have healed. Sometimes they're showing you, I call them door openers. It's like, look, this is what you can have. Like, you go to a nice hotel and the guy at the door, he opens the door. He brings you into a new world. And you're like, oh my God, it's amazing in here. Some people you date, they're just going to open the door. They're just going to show you more of what's possible. And that's it. That was their job, right? So like, if you look at dating and you're like, every person is bringing me closer to my person, what are they bringing me? Then any date can be, you know, a useful date. So you got to watch yourself. You got to have a lot of self-awareness or else your dating life won't go too well.
You know? Yeah. Do you think, because people sometimes do healing work and then that ex or narcissist or person from their past comes back. Do you think narcissists, or have you seen, or maybe, I don't know, do you think narcissists ever change truly if they ever fall in love? Or
No. I mean, a narcissist is not going to change. Somebody who was just kind of like going through something and they treated you crappy, but they realized, that's different. Like, I think people can change. I think most people can change, but I think that most people need life to smack them in the ass to change. Like, that's the truth, right? You know what I mean? Like a guy's not going to change because you're like, you so much, you know, what I mean? Like, you're a human. But sometimes people go through stuff, you know, like where a lot of times for men, it's like they have to like lose something, like they lose a job, they lose a relative, they lose something. And it's like this crisis moment. And then they have to like kind of reconfigure everything, you know, they make that choice. If that happens, I think people can change because life has kind of changed them. But a narcissist, I wouldn't go back to. Also, like somebody who's really love avoidant usually will make life very difficult for you. They really won't change that.
Let's talk about love avoidant. What exactly is a love avoidant? I like that term, so I want to learn more.
So love avoidant is basically, at the end of the day, they fear love, right? So there's some kind of connection in their mind where it's like, if I move closer to love, there's going to be some kind of pain. Pain can be, I'm going to be smothered and like, you know, like taken over and I'm not going to have myself. I'm going to be hurt. I'm going to be abandoned in some way. But love and hurt is really linked for them in some like kind of fundamental way. That's how they got wired because of their childhood. So what will happen is you date them and you're like, this is cool. It's amazing. We're connecting. And something goes off, an alarm goes off in them. The closer they get to you, alarm bells start ringing, literally. And so they have to pull away. So they'll pull away when you're getting close. And it's very crazy making. And a lot of love avoidant people attract anxious people. And those people, when the love avoidant pulls away, they get really, really anxious. So I always say to people, if you're going to be with like a love avoidant person, you have to accept their behavior and you have to create coping mechanisms for their behavior because they're not really going to change. You're just going to have to learn how to not get so hurt every time like they pull away.
So in other words, if you fall in love or love a love avoidant, healing with them looks like holding space during those moments versus pushing. And you think that is how they can heal, hopefully.
Yeah. And not take it personally. Like their behavior has nothing to do with you. It has to do with love. It has to do with their fears of love. So like an anxious person, if avoidance pulls away, they're like, oh my God, I'm freaking out. Ah, how do I make it better? How do I make them see? Like it has nothing to do with you. Like they would do that if anybody else came their way with a lot of love. So you really have to not take it personally. Not everybody can accept love. Like not everybody thinks it's a good thing in their wiring. A lot of people associate love with suffering or loss or pain. So their mind is like, why would I move forward? You know, like it's not about you.
So I have this question that I'm sure the ladies are going to love. There's a myth and I hope that you can help answer it. Do men really love bitches? Or some kind of form of it? Because I know that we've been given, you know, that name and I don't love that term, but you know, we've been programmed by that book specifically to act a certain way to gain the attention or respect or the love of a man. So let's talk about the psychology of that. Is that really what some men might be into?
Okay. Well, I will say this. What's more attractive? Like a wallflower, step on me woman or a bitch, right? Like we all know that, right? So is it more attractive than somebody who's like, I'll give you my blood and everything in me, just be with me. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like that's more attractive. But like, if somebody likes being mistreated, right? If they really get off on being mistreated, that has to do with a childhood wound. You know what I mean? Like that's something in them that says that this is love. So do some men have that wiring where they think this is love? Okay, so you have to remember, everybody has to remember that whatever love you got in childhood. So however your parents or caregivers were. So let's say they told you were beautiful all the time, but if you got a B instead of an A, they were like, what's wrong with you, right? You're going to get wired that I'm loved for this, I'm not loved for that. If your parents gave you minimal attention sporadically, yeah. You're going to get wired that love is this. So whatever you have, until you heal it. So whatever you have wired as love is this. Some people have love is unconditional and that's great. And usually those people tell me that my parents had such a great relationship that I'm afraid I can't have a relationship like that. And then that's their wound. You know what I mean? Yeah. Whatever you have wired love is, that's what you're going to seek and be attracted to. So do some men have love is somebody, you know, being bitchy to me? Like, absolutely. I think what, instead of a bitch, I think what would be better is if you know who you are, know what your standards are, and don't be afraid to communicate that. Like, for example, when I met my husband, I was very clear. This is the kind of relationship I want. This is my vision. Like I see it very clearly. I know what I'll tolerate. I know what I won't tolerate. I know what kind of conversations I want to have. I know I don't tolerate drama. Like I was very crystal clear on what I wanted. And it was very much like, who's going to be able to ride on that ship with me, right? Not from a bitchy perspective, but just I was confident. I knew like I can get what I want. So if you cannot be that, I will be okay. And I think that is more confident than somebody who's like, I read a book and now I'm like trying to, because anytime you're trying to be something because you think that's going to win you love, it's still insecurity, right?
Ooh, at the end of the day.
I love a lot of love books. Some are great, but I think a lot of love books are written to try and get anxious women to rope in guys who aren't really that great. And it's like, I'm like, don't go down that path. You don't have to go down that path.
That is so good. I love how you just phrased that. So I want to ask this question. How soon did you have that conversation with your husband? Because I love that. I love that because we'll dive into my little quiz and the answer yesterday, but how soon should maybe someone have that conversation? If let's say it's a confident, whether it's a male or a female, whoever, let's say they're totally confident, know what they want. Is that something they do in the early stages on the first date? Like, when do we have that conversation?
I didn't do it on the first date. Cause for me, the first date is just like really be present and see if you vibe with them. So, okay. So on the third date, I had sex with my now husband, right? It wasn't planned, but I also don't believe in any of like, don't have sex. That kind of stuff to me is like not even true. So it wasn't planned, but so, and then so then the day, the morning after, he's like, I think we should be exclusive. And I'm like, okay. I know it's good. But like, but I said no. And so the reason I said no was because I was like, I don't have enough. I like you, but like, I don't have enough information about you to know if that's a good choice for me. So that's kind of when I said, like, listen, I know what kind of relationship I'm looking for. I also know that I'm at this place in my life where I have to really make sure that if I'm going to step into something, it's really right for me. So like, I want to keep dating you. And so I had to take the risk because I was like, it's also a test. Like, can his ego handle me saying no to him, or is he going to get insecure and like run away or whatever? Right. So I was like, it scared me a little bit because I was like, he could go that way, but like, I have to kind of know if he's going to go that way. So I said no, because I didn't have enough information. I think like a month later, I was like, okay, like I'm ready. I also had like a lover at the time. Like, so I was like, I want to give up that lover. And then I realized like, I did want to give up. That was part of it for me. I'm like, okay, I'll give up this lover guy. Like, I'd rather be with Mike, you know? So not that it wasn't like sex wasn't good with Mike, but I just was like, I'd rather be with Mike. So I would say if certainly if like there's any conversation about exclusivity, like, I don't know, I think women are, it's like we're programmed to like just be in a relationship. Just like if somebody wants you, just like say yes. And it's like, no, you have a choice. Like, you don't have to be in scarcity ever in love.
Mm. Now, I love that for so many reasons, because we're programmed to get married. We're programmed to really, that's like our main focus. And I'll share, and I've said this before on other podcasts and my own, and I love my son's father. We have a great friendship, and we were friends for many years before we got married and had our son. But when he proposed to me, I didn't have that knowing. I actually had severe anxiety, and my alarms were like, girl, you got to say no, say no, say no. And I said yes. And for me, I feel like the blessing was my son, of course. But in that moment, my intuition knew that that was not my forever. I even share this story. When I was 8 months pregnant, talk about the knowing, I was laying there watching TV with my son's father, and my intuition's like, he's your first husband. Now, can you imagine? I'm laying in bed 8 months pregnant, and my eyes are like looks like a deer in headlights. And he's like, are you okay? And I'm like, yeah, I'm not going to tell him. The intuition just told me you're my first. Luckily, I asked my intuition, is my second for my forever? And my intuition's like, your second husband will be your forever. Now, yeah, but here's the thing, because we took that test yesterday that you gave me. My question to you is, I know you spoke about the knowing when you met your husband and all that, or moving there, you knew what your soulmate, where he would be. Tell me, was there an instant feeling, sensation? How does that work or feel like when you come face to face or hear their voice? Is there something that happens when it's the one?
I think guys have this more than I feel like guys have this actually more than women, where they'll be like, I know it's her, you know, like he says, like when he saw me that he had this feeling. I just felt like I was a very easy connection, you know what I mean? And like, I was just like, we had a great first date, and like it was like a very easy connection, and there wasn't like things that I'm like, I need to change this about him, like I was just like, oh, like, you know, we get along, we're aligned. And I did have like, I remember we were just like in a supermarket, and I had this thought of like, he would be a good husband, just come in. You know what I mean? Like, it was just this something when I looked at him, like told me that he would be a good husband. But for me, it was like, we get along, we have the same vision, we're aligned, and just like letting it build and build and build and build for me. Like, I had a good feeling, but at that time, I wouldn't let a good feeling control my decisions, if that makes sense. Like, I was very much like connected to my vision. I was like, this is the relationship I want, and I'm married to this already, you know? And so it was like, I not that I didn't get excited about him, like I did, but I also was like, very lean back. Like, you reveal it to me over time kind of thing. You know,
I love that.
I've had other clients who are like, some clients are like, I saw him on the thing and I knew. I almost didn't say yes. Okay. I met my husband on Tinder. This is the other thing. Like, I feel like when you're really aligned and you're focused, you're going to get information about your person. Like you're aligning up to them. So a week or two, I don't know how long prior, somebody had told me you should say yes to every 36-year-old guy that asks you out. And I was like, what? That's so random. And I was like, this is so random. It's probably the universe trying to talk to me. Like, I just was kind of open. I'm like, I'm going to meet this person. I'm going to be led there. I'm going to receive support along the way. I'm going to do my part and I'm going to be led. So I heard that information and I was like, I really felt like this is the universe speaking to me. Cause like, why? It's so random. So that's how I got that lover, because he was 36 and I said yes. But I also, I saw Mike's, but I always had this thing with like the year 1979. Like I always felt this affinity. I don't know why. Right. And that's when my husband's born, but I always kind of like, I don't know. So I saw my husband's profile. Half of his pictures are to the side. And then half of them, he had sunglasses. I'm not even kidding you. And I'm thinking, like, is this guy cross-eyed? Like, what? And then, like, one picture, he looked really good because it was, like, an old, like, modeling photo, you know? And then another picture, he was, like, I was, like, his face looks all crunched. I still told him to this day, I'm, like, I don't like it when he crunches his face all the way because it gets too wrinkly. That's just my own fear of wrinkles, right? And so I'm like, should I swipe yes or no? But then I did, cause I'm like, oh, he's 36. And then I was going to cancel on the date because it was Sunday, but I was working all day. At that time I was working like 24/7 and I was working all day and I was going to cancel the date because I'm like, I'm tired. I have to wake up the next morning for Monday. But I was like, oh, he's 36. So like I went on the date. Right. So like, I truly believe that, I don't know if it's for everybody, but a lot of times there's stuff helping you if you just like will be awake and aware and pay attention. Mm. So that stuff also kind of played into it, where I felt very aligned and I felt peace. And I think that when you're with somebody who you're really meant to be with, there's all the good emotions that you think of in relationships, but there's this like underlying feeling of peace when you're with them. When you think about them, you feel peaceful. You don't feel anxious, afraid, like you're going to miss out, like any of that stuff, you know? And I looked into the future and I thought, if I'm still with him in the future, is that a good future? And I was like, yeah. So that was kind of how I thought about it. I didn't have an instant like.
Mm. Now, from working with clients, do you work with male clients as well as female clients?
I work with male clients when it's couples, but not like just men who want to find love. But if it's couple, yes.
I'm curious because Steve Harvey says that men kind of know right away. And then some men say that's not true. Do you think it just matters on the timing or where someone is in their life? Because what if there's a man who he meets a girl or a woman and he doesn't know or recognize her right away. And then, you know, they go through that maybe separation and then he realizes she's the one. Is that possible also?
Yeah, absolutely. I do think a lot of guys have this kind of, I think guys are so intuitive. They're just kind of shamed out of connecting to their emotions. I think guys are like sensing so much energetically and they don't even realize it and they don't know how to communicate it. And I have like in the couples that I've helped get together, so often it's the guy who's like, yeah, I knew right away. And the woman is like, I liked him. But then it grew over time. So I do think that, I don't think it's all guys, but I think a lot of guys have that feeling. But like I said, a lot of guys also, I mean, society still doesn't really allow guys to feel their emotions. And I think until that happens, a lot of guys are not going to be ready for like a real relationship, because it's just like, where's all that stuff going? Like, it's like they're feeling what we're feeling, right? But they're not releasing it. So it's just like compacting on top of their hearts. And then it's like, can't feel anything, you know?
So how does someone listening know, let's say someone came back into their life, how do they know this person has really changed?
Okay. Well, you gotta, okay, I've changed means nothing, right? Like, what have you changed? Do they do they recognize the source of their behavior, right? It's like, what was making them act poorly in the first place? Do they know? If they haven't located that, it's kind of like if you're having sex with somebody and they can't locate your clit. Like, it does, you know what I mean? Like, it's like, it doesn't matter. Like, if they can't locate it, they can't locate it. Like, it's like, you're not getting the spot. You know what I mean? Like, it's like, if they haven't located the dysfunction within themselves and they just say, I love you, I want to be with you, that really doesn't mean anything. They have to have found that spot within them and they have to have done something about it, right? So if they're not saying that, or if you have to tell them what it is, like, no, right? So I love you, I want to be with you, I miss you. Like, so what, right? Have you really changed? So they need to show you that they've recognized. They need to tell you what they're going to do differently. They need to, if they really want to be back with you, in my opinion, they need to really be about you for enough of a period of time where you feel like you've gotten that, the balance has been restored in a way, you know, like, and you can care about them. Like, I feel like it has to be them pouring into you. And then you open up to them. Not, they say they love me, so like, let me give everything to them.
Yes.
They need to prove themselves. Just like if it was a new person, like, you need to treat the person coming back as if it's a new person that you met. Don't give them everything right away, because usually they don't deserve it. I mean, sometimes people do come back. Sometimes it's a beautiful story and I love those stories, but you know, it depends on the person.
That is so true. And I always tell people, you know, build on the foundation of a friendship, right? So let's say you and your friend had a separation, didn't talk, and people are living their journey, right? When they do come back, it's a new slate, it's a new person. Let them, you know, pour into you, especially if there's someone who has hurt you. Now, I took a little relationship test yesterday. So let's go over my results, because yes. I'm curious to dive in. Do you want me to pull it up or do we remember?
Yeah. For everybody who doesn't know, this is a dating types quiz that I created because I realized I've literally worked with thousands of women from like literally like people you see on TV to like, I don't know, like I'm living at home with my parents and I'm this and that. And like, I've helped them all find love. But I realized that there's different types of women. Like, even if somebody says, I want a partner, the reason they could want it could be totally different based on their personality. And also I started noticing patterns. I'm like, okay, everybody who has this pattern acts this way. And so I put them into types because I was like, if women, a lot of times, like, even if you're trying to improve your love life, it's like hitting that target thing I mentioned. You don't know what to improve. Like, you could have all the best intentions. You could be like, I'm doing self-love affirmations on my mirror. But like, if that's not really the thing, like I always say, it's like, think about if you don't collect $200, if you don't pass go, you don't collect $200. Like, most of us, I feel like, have these things where it's like, that's our main big thing to heal. And just focus on that main big thing to heal, because you don't have to be perfect to be in a relationship, like, just healed enough. But like, if you don't heal that thing, you're not going to attract what you want.
I want whoever, if you're listening to the podcast, I want to emphasize what she just said. You don't have to be perfect to be in a relationship. And I have to say, I used to struggle with that. That was like, I was like, no, I have. All right. So, okay. So we'll dive into that, but I just wanted to emphasize for myself and the listeners, because I used to really struggle with that. I was like, I have to always be perfect, look perfect to attract the perfect partner. So anyone listening, I took the test and it will be in the show notes, so you guys can take it too. And I was the totally single, total catch. So what is like my personality in dating? What could I be doing? Should I be doing? Let's unpack.
So totally, I love totalism. I love working with totally single, total catches. Because you will do the work and you'll put in the work. So totally single, total catch is like that person where you're like, hello, you're beautiful, you're successful, you take care of everything. Like, you're on top of things. Like, you are good. Like, you're excellent. You're an excellent person. And everybody's like, why is she single? Like, what? It's like totally single, total catch. So the thing is that there's, for the totally single, total catch, there's always this freaking gap. And it's so annoying because it's like, they know what they want. Like, For totally single, total catch, you should not be with a person who's like a normal, everyday kind of person. You're probably going to be bored. You're not going to be inspired. Totally single, total catch usually wants to be inspired by the person that they're with. They want to be, they want to feel like, you don't just want to sit and do Netflix, right? Like,
you God. I have to say that's what I always, I used to say that to my exes, and I say, I cannot do Netflix and chill with you. Like once we get comfortable, I feel like I'm suffocating.
Yeah, because that's not your personality. Like, you have to always be growing and evolving. Mm-hmm. So the issue for the totally single, total catches is that you actually have a crystal clear knowing of what you want and what works for you in a relationship. It's just that you look around and like there is a sea of people who are not a match, and that's like the majority of people. Then there's a bunch of people who are in relationships and they seem happy, but you're like, I would never want that. Like, not hate on you, but like, that's crap. So you're just like, what do I do? Because I'm over here. Either, and it feels like you have to settle, but something in you is like, no, I can't settle. Or you already did settle. You're like, I'm not going to do that again. Like, what the hell? And it feels like the kind of person you want does not exist. Mm. And they do exist. They are more rare, but it's okay. Because I promise you, when you're trying to like manifest, when you're trying to bring something to you, if it's very specific and rare, people think that that's like a problem. They think that that means, oh my God, it's so much harder. But it's not, because you're so clear on what you want that it's easier to bring that thing to you. If you say, I want to stay at a hotel, there's a million hotels. But if you say, I want to stay at a hotel that has a gold encrusted bathtub, and for room service, they put, you know, these specific chocolates under your pillow every single night, and they have this and they have that and they have that, like, you are going to find the one that actually works for you, because you know, right? So specificity is your friend. Totally single, total catch, your whole journey is belief. You know how to be a good believer. You know how to be a good believer in almost every single area of your life, but it but sucks love. In love. You doubt. You doubt in love. Guilty. Because here's the thing. Sometimes totally single, total catch, it's like you still want to find love. So you'll like interact with the guys who are not really that much of a match. But and then you still get hurt. Like, it hurts somehow. Something happens, even if the hurt is your disappointment. So it's like, it's hard because you're like, I don't want to be here and be single. But then every time I interact, I get hurt. Ah, and you have to believe, because you're the kind of person, if you're the totally single, total catch kind of person, you can manifest with your belief. Like, you could believe something and call that in. And that's kind of like how it is for you. Like, this person, you're going to bring them in. Like, you're going to pull them in by your belief, your energy, your decision. Like, if you're a totally single, total catch person, you've done this before. You've decided and it has come. Like, I know you have, because I know you're a powerful person. So you have to get yourself to believe that that can happen in your love life, because it can't. Like, I trust me, a lot of my clients are totally single, total catch women, and they'll decide, and then the person shows up, they chase them down the street, they ask them out, and they weren't these guys before. So you have to realize what you're seeing has nothing at all to do with your partner, and stop letting what you're seeing make you believe that you can't have your partner. Like, it literally has nothing to do with it. It has nothing. And if you can get that, like, your past is separate from the partner. Your whatever is separate. The guys online who suck are separate. And just focus on, who is my partner? What does this person feel like? Can I believe that they're going to come in? You might take action. You might go on a dating app. You might go to a bar. But it's, I really believe, for the totally single, total catch, it's like a manifesting game, you know? Because they're there. So they got to work on their belief, because the doubt keeps you from activating your full power, where you really could just go, I'm going to bring this person in, and they really could come in, and you really could have them. And then everybody else, most of my totally single, total catch, what happens is they attract their partner, and then everybody's like, oh my God, how'd you get a guy like that? You know, like, he has everything. He has all the things. And it's like, they had to believe. But then the other thing is that you have to also, like, a lot of totally single, total catches, they, for some reason, because of their childhood or their past, they don't feel worthy of that kind of guy. He's on a pedestal for some reason. Mm-hmm. And they're like, why do you want me? And it's like, hello, he only wants you. Like, you're the, but there's this thing of like, am I really good enough for that kind of guy? And so if you do meet that kind of guy, you feel like you have to perform. You feel like you have to be perfect or whatever. Yeah. And it kind of pushes them away. And then you're like, see, I wasn't, they're so rare. And it's like this whole drama. And it has nothing to do with that. It's just like, you weren't your full self. Mm. And the totally simple catch, as much as she is amazing in her love life, there's this little part of like, but really am I going to be loved? And you have to just trust that you will be loved. You don't have to be perfect. And also, like, you have to know what a catch you are, and you have to feel it in every fiber of your being. And that guy is not above you, whatever guy you think, he's not above you. When you're actually with him, he's going to be like, she's fucking amazing, but you're also going to be amazed by him. It's going to be this mutual, like, amazement together, like Amal and George Clooney kind of thing, where it's like, you see how he found her, and it's like, she's so amazing, I'm just an actor. Right? Even though he's rich, he's George Clooney. But he is George Clooney, but he's like, Amal is so amazing, right? But I'm sure she's like, I don't know them personally, but I'm sure she's like,
George how did Clooney I get so Clooney? Yeah.
Right? And it's like,
I love that
match kind of energy. You are a match for that excellent guy. You just have to know you are.
Mm. So what are some visualizations or meditations maybe that you've done, maybe that you can recommend for someone to stay in that belief of self to really manifest and get clear on that vision?
Okay. So I recommend this thing. I call it like a future vision, but basically what you want to do is you want to think about in the future with your person, guy, woman, whatever kind of, you want to think about some people I've worked with, polyamorous couples. So like whatever it is, your vision, right? I always say man, but just know everybody listening, it's just because I'm so used to working with heterosexual women, but everybody. Okay. So think about a moment in the future that you would love to experience with your person that is so specific to you and has your energy and your vibration in it. And it's like, it can be anything, but it's like, what's one thing where if you were looking back years later, you'd be like, I'm so happy I got to experience that with my person. So for example, mine was, I'm sitting in a hotel. I love hotels. Well, good hotels. Sitting in a really amazing, gorgeous hotel with my person, overlooking the windows are open. You could hear the beach, and room service comes in, and we just like enjoy this beautiful room service meal together. And it could sound so simple to some people, but it was like, that's really my essence. You know what I mean? Like, I like love luxury hotel and getting room service and being in a beautiful place and all of that. So I kind of like thought about what would be the best experience for me. This is a huge thing when manifesting, right? And I would envision that scene like every day. I would put myself in the scene and I would feel the feelings of it. So on my Tinder profile, I have a guide to to write the best Tinder profile. If anybody cares about that, I have the guide for that. And I put my whole profile in the guide. But I had on my profile, I see my life as a delicious meal that's meant to be savored every drop. Mm. And I believe that love matters most above all. So there was like a little food thing in there. My husband's like huge foodie. On the second date, this is probably when I figured out like I loved him so much. But on the second date, we were going to order dinner. And I'm like, what should I have? Should I get the chicken or should I get the steak? And he's like, why don't you order both? And I know that sounds like such a little thing, like, but to me it was like everything, because that's like so much of like how I enjoy life is like sharing like this beautiful meal. And it's like, that's kind of what I focused on in my vision, right? This whole time is like that energy. So I always recommend, like, if you're into camping, if you're into maybe you and your partner are speaking on stage together and like that's your thing and you both want to be these visionaries, right? Like, think about some moment in the future where if you could experience it, it would be like, I'm living my best freaking life with my partner, and this is such a snapshot of a beautiful moment in time. Make sure it has your energy in it, like what works for you. Mm. And focus on that every day. Feel the feelings of it. Feel yourself drawing it to you, because what will happen is you'll get something very similar, or you'll get that. And I'm all about you drawing the energy to you that's actually a match, right? That's when things are more lasting, when they're actually a match in the first place. So you can do that. If you want to feel more like a catch, what I recommend is you really take the time to think about, what are all my qualities? What am I really bringing to the table? Let's say you're funny. Let's say you're beautiful. Let's say you're fit. Let's say you're intellectual. Okay. And then like really sit there and think about, what would it be like for somebody who was with a partner who didn't have those qualities? Because that's how you're going to see how valuable it is. So imagine that somebody's, say you're so funny. Imagine your person dating somebody who's really not that funny. It would kind of suck, right? Like it would kind of suck. Imagine you're really successful and you're passionate about your career. Imagine your ideal person dating somebody who's just like, oh, I don't know, let me just stay home. It would kind of suck. We kind of see, I know it sounds weird, but you'll see how good you are and how good your qualities are when you envision your ideal person being with somebody who doesn't have those qualities. All of a sudden, you're going to be like, oh, wait a minute. Like I am bringing them the exact qualities that they'd want in somebody. And that's how you start to feel like you're a match, you know, for that kind of person.
That's so interesting. So with that, now that we're gearing towards the end, what is maybe one of your favorite love stories, maybe with a client, maybe yourself? What's one story that maybe really touched you, stayed with you, and really showed you like, wow, love is so beautiful?
Oh, I mean, I have like, there's, I like every time. Okay. So every time somebody like was trying to, wanted to find somebody because they wanted to start a family, and then they find somebody, and then like, you know, whatever, a year or two, three, 5 years later, they send me a picture and they're like, I'm pregnant. That makes me really happy. And this happens to me a lot because I know that that baby's going to be loved really well because they've taken the time to love themselves really well, you know? So, I love the stories where like my client will be like, I'm traveling all over, I'm running a business, I can't find somebody. And then we're like, let's just believe that you can find your person. And then she goes to an event and the guy just comes up to her in the middle of the event. And it's like, I was so drawn by your energy, I had to talk to you. I'm going to fly you in my helicopter next week to come see me. And then he does. And then they get together. And then he's like, I'm going to buy a house for the both of us. And you can travel, not changing her. You can travel whenever you want. I'm buying a house for the both of us. And when you travel, I love you, I'm here. And when you're not, you're with me. So like, I love those stories when it's like, she didn't have to change anything about herself. She had to embrace who she really was. And then she found somebody, you know, that was a match. But it happens in my world all the time. That's why I always tell people, like, I'm like, listen, if you don't believe you can find love, like, just come talk to me. Because every single story you could have, somebody feels like, I can't find love because of this or that, I've seen them. I've seen them find it, you know?
I love that. And we will be talking because I know I got to find love. And
But this is the thing. Listen, you are. Do you know why? Like, this is why, Jackie, because when you had that moment at 8 months where your intuition said, this is not your first husband, that means there's a second. So you see how we doubt that? The first part came true, which means the second part has to come true, right? So like, when you tell me that story, how I relate to you is 100% she's finding her person, because I trust it, right? And so I'm like, done, she's finding it, not a problem, right? So if you can do that, you'll have an easier time, because your intuition already told you you're going to have your second husband, and that's going to be your lifelong person.
That is true. Wow, that's the reflection. You just gave it back to me, so thank you. What would younger Nicole, or what would the Nicole now tell younger Nicole, maybe about dating, about life? What would you say to her?
I would say, you don't have to impress them, and you don't have to. I was so insecure. I would say, all the things you're insecure about, you don't have to worry about them, because you're lovable. Like, you are lovable as you are. I would want my younger self to know that, because I was painfully insecure. So I want her to know. And I would also want her to know, like, if you can put yourself first quicker, things are going to go better for you no one's love is worth you sacrificing essential parts of yourself. Like, it's not, it never ends up being worth it at the end of the day, like to get their love and you give up all this. It's never, nobody in the history of time has ever said, well, I got their love, so it's worth it. And so I wish I would have known that, because I chased a lot of stuff that wasn't like really that good, because I was just hungry and desperate for the love. And then later you're like, why was I doing that? They weren't even that great. I wish I knew that, you know, sooner.
I love that. So everyone listening, guys, and Nicole, thank you so much for being here, because you made all of us believe in love again. You made us really understand what it's like to get clear. You made us understand what it's really, really like to be on this journey and really believe. And I think a lot of the times that's really the gap, is the belief. Right. So thank you so much, guys. If you're listening, Nicole, where can they find you on social media?
You can find me on Instagram at Nicole More Love, YouTube, Nicole More Love, anywhere, Nicole More Love, pretty much, on Threads. Now we have Threads. You can find me there, Nicole More Love. And all the links are like in all my bios there. So if you want to take the quiz, you can do all that stuff. And I have so much free content. It's ridiculous. And I love it when people just like just get the content and they're like, I found love. Like, I'm like, amazing. Oh. Like, I love it. So I get those messages too, where somebody will be like, I've been following you for a while and watch your videos and I applied stuff. Now I'm with my person. And you know, it's great. It's all I still to this day, that's like when I'm the happiest, when somebody sends me that message and they're like, I found this, I did this. Because they're showing other people too, just by them having that love, what's possible, you know?
Guys, be sure to follow Nicole. Everything's going to be in the show notes. Nicole, thank you so, so much for being here with me today.
Thank you.